Welcome to the Square Peg Show, episode 22. I'm Mike.
And I'm Jesse.
So last week we had mentioned that it was all news. There was a lot of news to catch up on.
Lots. Comic-Con, man.
Yep. This time, all reviews. And by reviews, we just mean random shit that we independently watched on Netflix. So that's going to include...
Jodorowsky's Dune, which is a great documentary.
Machete Kills and Mean Girls. Because why not?
Why not? Just random. Just out of a hat, baby.
That shows the full gamut of what we're going to do here. All right. So what do you want to review first? I guess I'll do one of mine since I got two here. Yes. Let's start with Mean Girls.
Okay. So, Justin, if you're listening to this.
This movie came out in 2004. I had never seen it until just recently. And, you know, so I'm 10 years late to the party here. But it did very well commercially. Mm-hmm. It was pretty well reviewed. It was a lot of fun to watch. It was very tightly plotted. Tina Fey wrote it. Mm-hmm. It had a lot of Saturday Night Live cast members in it. Tim Meadows was the principal.
Yeah.
Tim Meadows, I've always thought, is hilarious ever since I saw The Ladies' Man.
Yeah.
So funny. He has that deadpan delivery. So yep. Great. And, you know, I also had Lindsay Lohan, Amanda Seyfried, a couple other, Rachel McAdams, who I wasn't very familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, good.
Was it a cute little movie?
No, I wouldn't say cute. it was a lot smarter than you may be thinking, man.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. Some of the jokes are kind of dumb, but I got to give it credit. It was much stronger a movie than I thought it would be.
Really?
Lindsay Lohan, pretty good actress, I thought.
What?
That sounds strange, right? Because I think immediately after that, she went down the crazy bender of, paparazzi drugs all the time. Another big thing is that some guy that we knew, a long time ago, back in 99, 2000, mm-hmm. Danny Franzese.
Yes, yes.
He is one of the major stars of this, so it was so weird to, watch a movie where I knew one of the actors.
Yes.
Pulls you out immediately. Yes. It's like, oh, yeah, then now Danny's talking.
Yep.
He was pretty good in it, but I don't know. I guess I don't have really too much to say about this, which is a great reason to have it on the show.
Well, every time someone talks about Mean Girls, it always reminds me of Easy A, which was apparently a guy who went here, who lived in our hometown and went to school here and then went off to write Easy A. Did you ever see this?
I know it had a Palaka reference.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
It was written by this guy, and it had a reference about someone getting syphilis or chlamydia or something like that, and as punishment was sent to Palatka, Florida as punishment. And, I thought that was hilarious, and that was kind of linked those two because, we knew Danny and mm-hmm. from all those times ago in the coffee shop. Danny, if you're listening to this.
So anyway, it was a fun movie. It was fast-paced. It had a lot of good jokes in it. It was just strange to watch. It was like a cultural thing. Just like sometimes you see a movie that everybody else is talking about, you finally get around to watching it.
Right.
So that's the main gist of it.
Right on.
Let's move on.
Mean Girls.
Let's go from Mean Girls to Machete real quick.
Yes.
Let's save yours from...
Yes.
Machete, also remember the first one had Lindsay Lohan in it, a strange naked role where she... I won't even go into her character in that because it was weird. But that's Machete for you. Yeah. We actually reviewed Machete mm-hmm. on the podcast as for our B-movie thing a while back.
Actually, if we step back for just a second, we actually did the review for Grindhouse, which were the two movies, and Machete was a mock trailer at the beginning of that. Apparently, it got enough buzz that they decided to make a full movie out of it and now have gone on to a sequel from just a mock trailer. And I think that's hilariously awesome to me. You get enough people behind something as retarded as Machete, and it makes all kinds of money.
And it's crazy because the way that it's plotted, Machete meets somebody. This is true for the first one and the second one.
Mm-hmm.
He meets somebody, and then they give this backstory for 5 minutes, and then bam, that character's dead. Machete moves on to somebody else, And it's always about this crazy conspiracy that involves, everything, and the plot just blows your mind. But you don't watch it to just, follow the plot. I mean, I had a lot of the same cast members and characters that we mm-hmm. like from other stuff, like the guy that did... The guy whose name we couldn't remember last time we talked about Machete was the stunt guy that became Sex Machine from Dusk Till Dawn.
Yes, yes.
That fellow was in it again. Lots of other actors returning. Charlie Sheen was the president. Mel Gibson was the big...
Winning.
Mel Gibson was the big bad guy.
Yeah.
There was a shape changer with Lady Gaga, Walton Goggins, Cuba Gooding Jr. They all played the same character, actually. And Machete killed a lot of people with helicopter blades. Give props to that.
One of the things I always remember from the first one is that he disemboweled a guy and then rappelled down a hospital with his entrails. That was amazing.
They had a couple of entrail-based deaths on this one, too. I did want to look this up, though, because the trailer for Machete Kills, which is the sequel, started with another faux trailer.
Mm-hmm.
This one, Machete Kills Again, ... in space. And he's literally got, lightsaber machetes and...
Wow.
And And Michelle Rodriguez is out there too, and they're fighting bad guys in space. That's the trailer. It said villain Leonardo DiCaprio, and then in the bottom it said may or may not appear in the movie. And then I told you I wanted to spoil this movie, Machete Kills, because it's out on Netflix. Might as well. I mean, if you're going to see it, you've probably seen it by now.
Yeah.
Machete Kills ends with Machete taking a rocket up to chase Mel Gibson, and they're literally going to try to do Machete Kills again in space in the third movie.
This is genius, Mike. This is absolutely genius.
So I got to give Robert Rodriguez props all around.
Absolutely.
So those
Who undertakes something like this? You know what I mean? It's like, who says, fuck yeah, just write it down. I'll do it. I'll put it in a movie. I don't care. Amazing. Look, if they can put Jason in space, they can damn sure put Machete in space. That's all I'm saying. If they can put Leprechaun in space, fuck it. You know?
All right, so it was a strange, strange movie, but it was kind of fun. It was kind of monotonous, too, though, to be honest. Like, it was a little hard to get through, because after you see so many crazy-ass deaths, it gets a little old hat after a while, especially when it's the second movie out of three.
And, you know, that sucks, because, like, Girls Gone Wild, you know, you're tired of seeing titties after a while. That's not really true, but I have to say it on the show, because, you know, it's PC or something.
Have I turned the square picture into a PC show? Be honest with me, Jesse.
No, negative, negative. All right,
let's move on to your review, man.
Let's move on to mine. I watched an amazing documentary. It's, if you haven't heard of it, it's called Jodorowsky's Dune. Now, if any of you guys have ever seen the movie Dune that came out quite a while ago, every time I watch it, I have to fight to get through it. I'm usually falling asleep. There's so much I mean, even though it had, like, Sting, and it had Dean Stockwell, and, you know, pretty good people in there, it was so much inner dialogue that kept happening, which means there was a lot of still camera on a non-moving face with, you know, dialogue being spoken over it, and I just wanted to fall asleep. And then there was a big floating fat guy. Anyway, it was kind of meh to me. But apparently, before that movie was created, there was a filmmaker from Mexico, I believe, named Alejandro Jodorowsky, and he had this huge vision to make this movie. Now, he had made a couple movies prior, one of which was called El Topo, one of which was called Holy Mountain. Both of them were trippy and weird. I'm pretty sure he played a Jesus Christ-esque kind of person who actually excreted gold at some point in the movie. Like, it's fucked up. It's weird. But for the time, no one had ever seen anything like this. You know what I mean? Like, he's weird. Like, you'd see it and you would either think this guy is a raving lunatic or an absolute genius. There's no in-between
guy. Those are former movies of the guy that you're about to talk about for Dune. Okay.
So, you know, his producer, or one of his producers came along and said, I love these movies. You can do whatever you want. What do you want to do? And he said, Dune. I want to make Dune.
Just to give some context real quick, Dune is a 1965 science fiction novel by Frank Herbert.
Frank Herbert, yeah.
Then it became a movie in 1984.
And then they also had a sci-fi.
Directed by David Lynch.
Yeah, David Lynch.
Which is the one that you had trouble watching.
Yes. And then they had a sci-fi miniseries, which I've heard from Frank Herbert fans of the original novel that it was really good. I've yet to see it. But if you guys could get a chance to see this documentary, it's awesome. Because what he did was he started running around and getting this cast and crew together to make this movie. And some of the names that came up were pretty amazing. Now, there's a comic illustrator who goes by Moebius. Who did all the storyboarding for him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He had H.R. Geiger. Now again, this
the aliens fella.
Yes. Now, this is pre-Star Wars. This is, you know what I mean? Like, this is way back. So he has H.R. Geiger. He has Moebius so far. He got Pink Floyd to do music. He got some band called Magma, who was very hard and industrial kind of, you know, to do music. Then he got some actors. He got Mick Jagger to agree. He got Orson Welles to agree. And of all fucking people, Michael, he got Salvador motherfucking Dali to agree to be in this film. Like, this was going to be huge. So what they ended up doing, they write an entire script. They had Moebius do this entire storyboard of the entire movie. H.R. Geiger doing some artwork. Another fellow, I can't remember his name, but he did a lot of awesome, I believe it was oil paintings of ships and things. It looked very almost fish-like. All of the ships were very organic and, like, tiger-striped and all kinds of weirdness. So he makes this huge book, and then he goes out to all of these Hollywood production companies and gives them this book and says, I want to make this. And all of them love it. They love the idea. They don't like Alejandro for some reason or other, probably because he's kind of wacko. So they call it the greatest movie never made. Just to give you an idea of some of the stuff that was in the storyboard book, it was the first time anyone could think of that there was a first-person perspective from a cyborg where it had, like, a heads-up display and it was analyzing everything around him, very much like Terminator. Of course, a lot of the artwork that was made for by Geiger.
Like the readings of, yes. Like, the things the robot's looking mm-hmm. at? Okay.
And then a lot of the artwork from Geiger ended up in things like Prometheus and, of course, Alien. They list all these examples of things that happened, you know, in their storyboard that ended up in later sci-fi movies. So,
do you remember
the
year that he was trying to make this? Because
this was like 73, 74,
okay.
I would say.
Because you're saying it predated a lot of the other major sci-fi mm-hmm. stuff.
So, he really was visionary. And he even had his son, who was going to play in the character's name was Paul. He was like the main character. And, he actually gave his son over to this martial arts trainer and was like, you're going to raise this kid for a while and teach him everything that you know to spiritually and physically prepare him for this role. Like I said, this guy's crazy. He's crazy.
He guys, gave who?
His own son.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying.
I'm just trying to follow here.
Yes, this is all what right. It's crazy. Okay, so all of this is happening and then the whole thing gets canned and he's crushed and, he hasn't really done much since until...
Did it ever get to a filming stage or all pre-production?
No.
Okay.
They couldn't get the money from the production companies, that sort of thing. Okay. So what ended up happening was they took a lot of that stuff and then put it into comic book form. There was a couple books, one of which was called The Incal, I believe, I-N-C-A-L. There was a couple other ones with him and Moebius.
Moebius and Geiger, both amazing artists. Yes, I would love to see these storyboards.
Yeah. So there's apparently the book that he has in the documentary is what he calls the only one in existence, which... I'm sure there's in a vault and all these other places, Warner Brothers and Universal or, all these places that have one in a vault somewhere. But, he has this one and, it's kind of a big deal, I guess. So if you guys haven't seen this, to see the passion behind this guy's eyes, who's so upset that it never got made, it's cool, man. It's awesome to watch for sure.
I need to start watching more substantial things on Netflix. There's a lot of choices, and I settle for the first thing I see on the main screen.
Well, this isn't actually on Netflix. This was something that I had acquired, but okay. I can get it to you.
It's, and the name one more time of the movie?
Jodorowsky's Dune. And we'll probably put the picture up of the cover of the documentary because it's trippy. As soon as you see it, you'll recognize it.
Did they interview any other people involved in the making?
Yes, all of them. All the people that were involved, the producer, Geiger, none of the actors. Orson Welles, of course, who's passed away, and Dally, who's passed away. Mick Jagger, who isn't, but he wasn't in the movie. But
I guess I was thinking Netflix because it does have a lot of great filmmaking or movies about filmmaking.
Yes.
So I could probably put some of those up on squarepegshow.com that you and I have watched recently, other ones that are recommended.
Absolutely.
But this one sounds great, man.
It is.
I'm definitely going to watch this.
It's cool. It's crazy. But it's very, very cool. This is the other thing. Again, like I said, this guy is crazy.
But he's still able to make movies. He's not so deranged that he can't make movies.
No. And I don't mean to say that he's out of his mind because, he is very intelligent. But some of his ideas are, even when he said, because he changed the ending of Frank Herbert's original novel to be very different from the book in the movie. And he actually said, when you make something like this, you have to rape the original material. He used the word rape. Hmm. He's like, you have to rape it, and then you have to
love
it.
Man, you're just too PC, man. No, I know what you mean, man. Weird anytime uses that word other than, the real thing.
So, it's interesting to see. It's interesting to even think about. And I would love, and he mentioned, I would love to see a computer graphics animator get a hold of that storyboard and then make it that way. I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's mine.
Lost treasures of the movie industry there. Awesome.
So, yeah.
Mind blown. Okay. Well, anyway, that is the podcast. And Jesse has a few more things to say about where you can find it.
Later, guys. Hey guys, just a quick reminder that if any of you would like to be on the show, suggest topics for the show, or just have questions or comments, please let us know at squarepegshow@gmail.com or on our website, squarepegshow.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to us on iTunes. So until next time, guys, be square.